Good morning. I hope you're enjoying your time with your wonderful children and dreading the day they have to go back to school. Children are a blessing from God. The Bible says, the blessed is a man who has his quiver full. And I believe a quiver is 5 or 6. So some of you better get a move on. But they are a blessing from the Lord. My daughter, one of my daughters is here this morning, and they are a blessing indeed. Good to be with you. Let's just have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word that lives and abides forever. We realise, Lord, when everything else has gone, your word remains. Thank you, Lord, it is all that we need for correction, for guidance, for blessing. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, this morning that you will bless your word. We ask it in your name. Amen. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles or your tablets or whatever you've got to John chapter 14. All these gadgets around here. I hope it's all insulated. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you will be also. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and take you to be with myself. You know where I'm going, and you know the way. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. You know, I didn't realise that it's up there. I said that off by heart. I didn't realise that was up there. 6 verses of one of the most evocative, beautiful, wonderful scriptures in the Bible, John 14. A chapter that you can read over and over and over again and still get something fresh from it. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. That word troubled means do not let your heart be disturbed. So easy when we look around us and things are going on in the world to get worried, to get anxious, and to get disturbed. We have to be concerned. We have to be able to a place where we are concerned so we can pray. But we should not get to that place where we are fearful and disturbed for the things that are coming upon the world. We belong to Jesus. We belong to God. And everything that is going to happen in this world, he is in control of every part. He knows what is going to happen. He knows what is going to happen today. He knows the plans for this world. The whole world, not just the church, not just Christians. God is in control. Amen. If there has ever been a time when we need to be certain of our Christianity and the things that we believe, it is now. The Christian faith is under attack like never before since the days of the disciples. Not so much in an open way, but in a subtle way, where pressure is put on things that we believe and the things that we say. We consider ourselves to have to be very careful that we don't offend. Well, I'm going to offend somebody today, because I declare that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to God except through him. Amen. Now, I believe that with all my heart. I realise that we're not supposed to say that. That people say there are many ways to God. There is one way to God, Jesus Christ. And no one has ever been able to disprove what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Everyone can have their way and have their say, except for the church. This is not to scare you, but to make you realise the days in which we are living and make you aware of the facts. The Bible says that these things would happen in the last day. So praise the Lord, rejoice, we are living in the last days. Men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That word pleasure means ways. They will love their own ways more than the ways of God. And isn't it true that people today reject the things of God, reject his commandments, reject the things that he tells us are good for us to live a life, and they want to go their own way, live their own lives, and have no account for what God says. It is time to get real. The word of God is mocked, ignored, and treated like a fairy tale. Yet all too often, we treat our Christian life like a game that we play in the playground. In our reading, Jesus is preparing his disciples for the fact that he is to return to the Father. How are they going to live without the Lord's leadership? How are they going to manage without doing and watching what the Lord does every day? I am going to prepare a place for you, but I will come again and take you to be with myself. That is the BBV, the Brian Vaughan version. Soon life for the disciples would never be the same. Their world was about to change. It would descend for a few weeks, maybe a few months, into chaos. When that happened, there is only one thing to do. Give up and go home. Stubbornly, hold on to what God has said. At that time, as the psalmist said, I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Job, after seeing his old world destroyed, was able to say, to declare, I know that my Redeemer lives, and my eyes shall see him, in whom I delight. When we have faith like that, when we understand our walk is one of faith and not one of sight, even the unbearable becomes bearable. We have a wonderful, marvellous, glorious future. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 says, it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Every day when I wake up, I rejoice in what God is doing. Every day I wake up, I realise that I am a day nearer to glory, a day nearer to home. I don't know what that day has in store for me. I don't know what problems or difficulties are going to come my way. But I can rejoice in this fact that Jesus Christ is in control of our lives. He has us in the palm of his hands, and everything that happens to us is to his glory. And one day we are going to be with him. Whatever it is, whatever heaven is like, we only have the word of Scripture to tell us. All we have is what the Bible tells. But it is going to be a splendid, a wonderful place, a magnificent place. We can dream all the dreams you want, and we can imagine in our hearts and in our minds what it's going to be like. But we have no concept of just how wonderful and how marvellous and how glorious heaven is going to be. And Jesus is telling the disciples, don't be sad. Don't get distressed. Believe in God. In my Father's house are many mansions, dwelling places, or whatever you want to call it, whatever version of the Bible you have. My Father's house means heaven. We have a place in heaven. What does dwelling place mean? Does Jesus mean a literal building? If yes, what would be the point? There's no rust. There's no rain. No robbers to break in, no noise, unless it's those crazy Pentecostals down the road making a noise and keeping everybody else awake. So inconsiderate Pentecostals. I once heard one man say to a Pentecostal minister, "I've heard that you've had many excesses in your church." And the pastor replied, "Yes, by many excessive blessings as well." Don't be bothered about getting excited and making a noise. We're going to go to glory and we're going to make a tremendous noise. What does he mean when he talks about a dwelling place? Well, for those who know Jesus as their Saviour, there is no need to fear. You have a place in heaven. No mortgage. The price is paid. The key is in the Saviour's hand. What Jesus is saying is that there is room for you, a place for you in heaven. Whatever way we go, should we go for the grave or should be here when the Lord comes, and I believe that day is growing ever nearer, we are going to be in heaven with Jesus. The word mansion translates moron and means abode, home, you're going home, praise the Lord. Here we have no continuing city. Heaven is our home. We are on this world and we're passing through it, but heaven is our home. We look for a city whose builder and maker is God. We are going home. We don't know when, but we know when the time is right, the Lord will be ready and waiting for us. There is nothing in Scripture to indicate separate homes, but most likely means is a home. We will be at home with Jesus. Amen. Together with each other forever. It also means a place to rest. How lovely. A place to... It's nice at the end of the day to go home, take your shoes off, and just sit down and rest and relax. But that day, we're going home to rest forever. Now, it's a lovely idea to think that we have a place all of our own. A mansion, maybe. With a beautiful drive, all the birds singing, and flowers and fountains. But the Bible doesn't say that. But we know it's going to be a wonderful place, a marvellous place. A place set aside which is going to be magnificent. A place that is for you and all those who love the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. The real meaning is even more wonderful. It is going to mean we are going to be with Jesus. Go home and read Revelation 21. Think how long it has been that Jesus has been preparing a place for us. Think of the wonder that was created in the world in 6 days. And think of that place that Jesus is preparing for us. Heaven is a home, not a tent. Our earthly bodies wear out. You can have the best house in town, but the time will come when you must leave it. It will fall apart and decay. We have a home in heaven, no rust, no dust, no pain, no tears, no sorrow, no crying, no death, no parting. And in verse 3 of Revelation 22, and this is the crowning glory, God himself will be there. Jesus said, in my Father's house, his Father's house, and his Father is our Father. There is a place for you. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, for you, for you, and for me. This very moment, Jesus is making ready a mansion in glory. It is an eternal home. It is a durable home. An estate isn't in terms of years, but in terms of eternity. We may have a mortgage, it's going to be 25, 30, so many years down here. But our home in heaven is for all eternity. Our individuality will not be lost. Does that mean that Robin will still tell his awful jokes? Maybe not, because he will be changed. We will know. Oh, that was popular. We will know. We will know as we are known. I want to believe that we'll all have our own homes or apartments, but I can't say we will. Neither can we say we won't. But you know what? If the Bible is clear on something, make it clear. Preach it. If it isn't, you can't. That's heresy. A earthly home can become overcrowded, especially when you have all your relatives around. Not so in heaven, for heaven is as wide and as deep and as high as the heart of God. And there's room for you. There's room for all. So Jesus is saying, don't worry. Don't be afraid. In this world, people may ostracize you. People may shut you out. But in heaven, you will never be shut out. The place is for you, and the doors will always be open and welcome. There are some great truths in this passage. First, it shows us the honesty of Jesus. I go to prepare a place for you. If not, would I have not have told you, is one interpretation of this scripture. That's a correct reading of this verse. It's a question. Do you believe me? I have told you I am the way, the truth and the life. Jesus isn't in the business of leaving any doubt. No one who comes to Jesus could say they were seduced by misleading promises or false pretense. In fact, the very reverse was true. Jesus told them, you will be hated. You must bid farewell to a life of comfort. Luke 9, verse 57-58. Jesus tells one who wants to follow him, I don't even have anywhere to lay my head. He told them of persecution, the hardship that they would have to bear to take up the cross. And we all know what the cross means, don't we? Death. If you want to share the glory, you must share the suffering. Church, never be guilty of making following Jesus easy. Jesus never bribed people into following him. He told them the truth. He challenged them into greatness. The glory will come, but at a cost. And at the end, let me make a plea. Don't treat your Christian life like a game. It's far too precious for that. Secondly, it tells us the function of Jesus. I am going to prepare a place for you. First, Jesus' first function was to come and to die upon the cross of Calvary, to take away our sins and to give us eternal life. His second function, it was to go home, to be with the Father, and to start preparing a marvellous, a wonderful place called heaven, where we are going to live. Do you mind if I get a bit excited this morning? Because I'm thinking and looking at the future that is ours in Jesus Christ. One of the great hopes of the New Testament is the fact that Jesus goes in front to open up the way for us to follow. We won't get lost. He knows the way. He is the way. He came from heaven and he's going back to heaven to make ready for us to follow. There won't be any unbuilt bricks lying around. There won't be any rubbish lying around. It is all going to be great and majestic. The most wonderful thing we have ever seen or even thought of. One of the great theological words used to describe Jesus, once seldom used or heard, and I only use it now because it clearly and distinctly describes Jesus, is the word proromas. That's proromas. Hebrews 6, verse 20. And it means forerunner. When I tell you how these words came about, it will light up the old picture for you. The Roman army used a proromas, and his job was to go ahead of the army to make sure it was safe to follow. Oh, praise the Lord. Jesus is our forerunner. He has gone before us to make sure that the way is safe. He has gone ahead to make sure that we are going to get there. And that is just what he has done. He blazed a trail to heaven and made sure it is safe for us to follow. He leads, we follow. It is never the other way round. He is leading the way back to heaven. He came from heaven. He knows the way back to heaven. And he's leading us to heaven. One of the cardinal verses of the Bible is John 3, verse 14 and 6. And I've already said it. I'm going to say it again. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Again and again, Jesus told his disciples where he was going, but they never truly understood. I am going back to the one who sent me and with whom I am one. Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now to us, that is a tremendous statement in itself. But those taken in context of time and the Jewish experience, it had a massive impact. The Jews were always talking about the way or the path in which people must walk and the ways of God. So to the disciples and others who heard Jesus make that claim, it would have been like an earthquake. God told Moses, turn not to the left or to the right, but follow the path I will show you. Isaiah had said, you will hear a voice saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. He's talking about the future glory of Zion. And there would be an highway called the way of holiness. And even the most simple would not get lost. There are many, many voices today that would take our interest, would come into our ear to misguide us and guide us astray, even in the guise of religion. But this morning, I want you to realise that Jesus said, I am the way. Not some religion, not some other person, but I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. What did Jesus mean, I am the way? We sing a chorus, you came to show the way. Oh no, 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 no. That always grieves me. He did not come to show the way. Jesus is the way. Suppose you're in a strange town and you are asking directions. And once don't ever ask my brother directions. He gets lost in his own garden. So you ask someone directions. They say, well, take the first right, the second left, go down the hill, cross the square, go past the church, take the second left and third on the right. You'd be lost before you started out. But if the person says, I am going there, that's where I live, follow me. That's just what Jesus is telling us. I'm not just giving you the way, I am the way, I live there, I'm going there, I will take you with me. And he takes us by the hand and he leads us there. He is the way. You won't get lost. He knows all the pitfalls and he will keep you safe until we get home. Then he tells us the ultimate triumph of Jesus. He said, I will come again. Praise God. That is our hope as a church. That is the hope of every Christian, that Jesus is coming again. He's coming for us. The place he's preparing is not going to remain vacant. He's already got someone's name on that place. The second coming of Jesus, or I should say actually the rapture, has to a large extent been dropped out of church thinking, well, it hasn't been dropped out of mine. And each day that goes by, the more I long to see the Lord return. He's coming again. Hasten, Lord, that day. He's coming again for all those who love him, for all those who are looking for his return, for all those who are blood washed. Jesus is coming again. And I sense it won't be long. I will come again. This world is going somewhere. History will have a consummation. And that consummation is the triumph of Jesus Christ and his church. When he takes those who are alive to be with himself, and we are joined with those who have gone before, and we shall ever be present with the Lord. Do you believe it? Out of every tongue, every nation, every class, young, old, every colour, no need for wheelchairs, no need for sticks. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. We will be gone from this world and we will be with Jesus forever and forever and forever. Amen. Fourth and finally, Jesus said, where I am, you will be also. Oh, blessed morn, blessed hope. Every day that passes is a day nearer home. We are passing through. Heaven is our eternal home. Should we live 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, eventually the day will come when the Lord Jesus Christ will call us by name and we will be gone. We'll be going to heaven. You'll have no need to pack, ladies. You'll have no time to pack, ladies. You won't need anything in heaven because everything will be provided. We were only given a glimpse in Scripture of what heaven is like. We can't hope to understand in our minds, in our finite minds, what it is like. Streets of transparent glass. The river of the water of life. A sinless place for the sinless people. How wonderful. How marvellous. How glorious. We don't need to speculate. There's enough to know. There's no pain, no crying, no death, no fear, no sorrow. And the crowning glory is we will be with Jesus forever. Our vision of Jesus at best on earth is shady. For now we see through a dark glass. But then, oh blessed morning, we shall see him as he is. And we shall be like him. Praise the Lord. I look at some of you this morning. I think, Lord, you've got a tremendous job to do. But we are going to be like him. Praise the Lord. Face to face shall I behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face, in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. He's gone to prepare a place for us. He's gone to prepare a place for you. He's coming again. Soon he will step out of heaven and come through the clouds and take us up to be with himself. We will be with him. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Get ready, church. We are going home. Amen.